because it's a reminder to us of the sacrifice that was paid at Calvary that you and I could have eternal life. See, without the cross, without the blood of Jesus, there's no remission of sins. There's no forgiveness. He was the ransom price. His blood was the ransom price for us, that we might be redeemed from our sins and we might be brought into his wonderful family. I don't know about you, but I'm thankful for the finished work of Christ. Think about that just a minute. The finished work of Christ. There's seven different sayings that Jesus says from the cross, but one of the most significant ones he makes is found in John 19:30. I'm not going to be there, so don't turn there. I'm going to be somewhere else. I know some of you are saying, oh, there we go. But in 19:30, he makes one of those seven sayings. He makes a statement that's a powerful statement. He says, it is finished. It is finished. Tetelestai. That word is a term that we've come to understand it as we understand what Christ did for us. Notice it's in the third person. He didn't say, I am finished. He said, it is finished. In other words, the purpose for which he came has been accomplished at Calvary. Whenever he hung there on the cross, he was able to declare to the Father and to all of us, it is finished. It's in the perfect tense. The perfect tense is an action in the past having continual results. What he did at Calvary, folks, listen to me today. What he did at Calvary doesn't stop at Calvary. It still works. The power of the blood still has the power to forgive our sins today. It still has the power to deliver us. It still has the power to cover us from the enemy. It still has the power to give us victory, folks. You remember what it says in Revelation chapter 12? It says they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. It's in the indicative move. The action is absolutely certain. It is finished. And then it's in the passive voice. That means the action that's one done for another. In other words, we did not do it for Jesus. Jesus did it for us, folks. He finished the work. And by the way, when you finish something, what do? You sit down. And what did Jesus do? He is set right down at the right hand of the throne of God this morning, and he's making intercession for us, and his work is complete. Why was his work complete? How do we understand this finished work of Christ? Well, if you have a copy of the scripture, I ask you to go to Hebrews 10 this morning. Hebrews chapter 10. In Hebrews chapter 10, the writer of the Hebrews is reminding us that Jesus is better than any Old Testament prophet. He's better than any Old Testament priest. He's better than any Old Testament sacrifice. In fact, he's trying to remind us that he has come to a new and living way. There is a new sacrifice, because see, what the old sacrifices could not do, Jesus did once for all, praise God. Aren't you glad? He did it once for all at Calvary. That's the reason we can talk about the fact it is finished. That's the reason we can talk about the finished work of Christ as he sits at the right hand of the throne of Christ. But look at verse 10, chapter 10, verse 1, as we look at this together. First of all, it says, for the law having a shadow of good things to come, not the very image of the things, can never... You need to underline that word never there. The word never, never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually make the comers thereunto perfect. In other words, they kept bringing sacrifice after sacrifice after sacrifice, and none of those sacrifices were sufficient. Because why? They kept doing it year after year. Every time they sinned, they had to bring a sin offering. They had to bring those different offerings to the priest. But it says, for then would they not have ceased to be offered? In other words, they would have ceased to be offered if they were sufficient, folks. but they weren't sufficient. That it was not the finished work. The priest's work was never, ever finished because he kept giving sacrifice after sacrifice. Because that the worshipers once purged should have no more conscience of sins. But in those sacrifices, there's remembrance again made of sins every year. In other words, every time they brought those sacrifices, it reminded them of their sin. Say, hey, I've sinned. It reminds me of my sin. It reminds me of my sin. I've got good news this morning. Do you know what? When Jesus died once for all, when he said it is finished, every sin that you and I would ever commit, every sin that had been committed, every sin that was being committed, every sin that would be committed was placed on Jesus at the cross, and he covered it for us. And today he covers our sins, and we don't have to live in our past. We can live in the present because we are justified by grace through faith. And the Bible says in Romans 8:1, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who walk according to the, not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. God has delivered us from the domain of sin, folks. And boy, we need to count that to be so. That's what Romans tells us. We need to count to be so. May I tell you today that this sacrifice, it showed that there was a need for a better sacrifice. Their need for that. These sacrifices were not sufficient. Look at what he says in verse 4. But it is not possible, word not, there's a key word, that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. In other words, he said, hey, it isn't going to work. Oh, it is according to Old Testament law, yes. They did it according to Old Testament law. But we have come into a new and living way through Jesus. Wherefore, he says, when he cometh unto the world, he said, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, thou hast had no pleasure. In other words, the Lord said, hey, listen, you can keep sacrificing day after day, but I have no pleasure in that. What does he have pleasure in? The pleasure of the fact that his son went to Calvary to die for us once for all. That the finished work of Christ was made perfect at Calvary, folks. And I'll tell you today, it is a provision of a better sacrifice. The death of Jesus. Look at what it says in verse 8. Above, when he said, sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings and offering for sin, thou wouldest not. Neither hast pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. Then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first. In other words, the first was that old covenant, that old law, that he may establish the second, the new and living way through the cross of Jesus Christ. And then he says, by which will we all be sanctified to the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. May I tell you today, we are sanctified. The word sanctified there is the word, it comes from the Greek word hagios. It means to be set apart. We're set apart. Why? Because of the offering that was paid by Jesus at Calvary. He made the perfect sacrifice. And he did it once for all. Y'all remember the old song we used to sing, Once for All? Anybody remember that song? Well, you know what? I found it in the Broadman hymnal this week. And in the Broadman hymnal, that Once for All, listen to, it's an old song where you sing. I'm not going to sing it, so don't get nervous. It says, free from the law, oh happy condition, Jesus has bled and there is remission. Cursed by the law and bruised by the fall, grace hath redeemed us once for all. Once for all, O sinner, receive it. Once for all, O brother, believe it. Cling to the cross, the burden will fall. Christ hath redeemed us once for all. Then listen to the next verse. Now are you free. There is no condemnation. Jesus provides a perfect salvation. Come unto me. Oh, hear his sweet call. Come and that he might save you once for all. Then the last verse says, children of God, O glorious calling, surely his grace will keep you from falling, passing from death to life at his call. blessed salvation once for all. I tell you what, he died once for all for us. That offering that the priest made day after day in the temple, and then you know the high priest would go into the Holy of Holies once a year to make atonement for the sins of people. He'd pass through that holy place, and there was this thick veil that was between the holy place and the Holy of Holies. And he would go in there, and they would put bells on the bottom of his robe, and they wanted to hear those bells keep ringing, because let me tell you what, if he had went into the presence of God, that's where the Shekinah glory of God was. That's where the Ark of the Covenant was, that had Aaron's rod that budded, that showed the power of God. It had a tablet, the Ten Commandments, that it reminded them of the commandment of God, and it had those, that manna, that golden manna, reminding them of the provision of God. And the high priest would take that blood of the perfect lamb without blemish, and he would take it and sprinkle it upon the mercy seat, covering their sin, and he would come out of that place, and he would put it on a lamb and send it across there, the scapegoat, saying, I'm sending away your sins. Well, guess what? The high priest's work was never done. Next year happened again. Next year happened again. But may I tell you good news this morning? The good news is Jesus went in once for all. He went into that holy place once for us to make atonement for our sins. He was able to say, it is finished. The finished work of Christ was complete at Calvary because of what he did for us. And I'll tell you what, that veil that was between the holy place and the Holy of Holies was rent. It was torn from the top to the bottom, meaning every one of us have access into the very presence of God. That's the reason Hebrews writes in Hebrews 4:16, the writer of Hebrews says, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace. Why? Because we have a high priest that's greater than any high priest that ever lived, better than any Aaron or any of his sons. Our high priest is Jesus Christ, the righteous, who made the perfect sacrifice for us. It sanctifies the believer once for all. And thank God for what he did for us. Wish I had more time to develop this day, but I'm going to come back to this another time. But I want you to see this going down with me in verse 17. And their sins and iniquity will I remember no more. Now where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil. Okay, he went through the veil. That is, what was the veil? That was to say his flesh. He died on the cross. He gave his very life. And having a high priest over the house of God, he says three things. First of all, let us draw near. You see that? Look at verse 23. Let us hold fast. And then look together at verse 24. Let us consider the three lettuces there. Let us. Let us. Let us. Well, I wish I had time to develop this day. I am going to preach fully on this one of these Sundays because it's so rich. But may I tell you today, because of this table, because of what Jesus has done, we must respond to him. It's not just enough to come and take the Lord's Supper. It's not just enough to come on Sunday and go through the motions of church. Amen? We're not here to go through the motions of church. We're not here to play church. We're here to meet holy God in this place. We're here because the Lord is here. Remember, I talked about how the church last week is a building, it's a body, and it's a bride. And the building must be inhabited. And the Holy Spirit inhabits this place today. And he's here to show us the way to Jesus. But he says we need to draw near. And by the way, if you see, remember it talked about in 1 Corinthians 13 that we have faith, hope, and love, right? Faith, hope, and love. May I tell you, how do we draw near? We draw near by faith. Look at verse 22. Let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of what? Faith. That's that same word that I preached on all summer in the Gospel of John. It's the word pistis in the Greek language. It means that it is a conviction. We have a conviction about what Jesus did. We have a conviction about his finished work at Calvary. And as a result of that, we draw near with a true heart, with full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience. See, our conscience, don't miss this. Our conscience, our evil conscience is a picture of the fact that you and I have been delivered from our past. Do you realize that? God delivered you from your past. You don't have to let that control you anymore. God delivered you once for all. When someone comes to the Lord, he gives us victory. He cleanses us. Our past, by the way, what does our past do? It condemns us. Our past always reminds us of our sin, of past sins and past failures. But thank God, because of what Jesus did at Calvary, we don't have to live in the past anymore. We can live in the present because of what he did. We can draw near by faith to him with a sincere heart. It means a genuine or pure heart. Let us hold fast. The second one, look at verse 23. Hold fast the profession of our, in the King James, it has the word faith there. By the way, do you know what that word is? Not the word pistis. It is the word elpis. It's the word hope, by the way. Okay? What are we doing? Faith. We draw near by faith. We hold fast by what? The hope. What is our hope? May I tell you, according to 1 Peter, it says we have a living hope. Why? Because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. We have the living word that will stand forever. And we have the living stone, Jesus Christ, in which we can put our life on. That's what we have, folks. And we can hold fast by our hope that we have. Our hope that we have in Jesus. I tell you what, may I tell you today, he's our only hope. If you're depending on anything else to save you, you're in trouble. You are. And then notice thirdly, let us consider one another. And what? How do we consider one another? To provoke unto love and good works. We love each other. Faith, hope, love. And by the way, if you and I understand those things, great will be our church. Great will be us who are part of the church. When we live by faith, we trust in the hope that we have in Jesus, and we love each other as Christ loved us. My Bible says we love because he first loved us. Amen. And this table here tells us today, church, it tells us Jesus loves us, and he is a new and living sacrifice that's perfect in every way. No, those old sacrifices could not take care of their sins. But Jesus, the finished work of Christ at Calvary, was able to say, it is finished. The work was complete. As our deacons come forward at this time, let's bow our heads. The Bible says, as was prayed earlier, we need to examine our hearts and our lives. As we examine our hearts and lives, if there's any wicked way in us, we need to make it right this morning. If there's anyone that you have ought against, you need to make it right with them. First of all, you make it right with God. And by the way, if you make it right with God, then you'll make it right with someone else. You won't hold on. The word forgive means to release. We need to be willing to forgive because he forgave us. And he says in the Sermon on the Mount, if you forgive not men their trespasses, how will the Heavenly Father forgive you your trespasses? We must make things right. Oh, the devil tries to come in, keep us from drawing near. He keeps us from loving one another. He keeps us from trusting in the hope that we have in Jesus. Father, I pray as we take the Lord's Supper today, it wouldn't just be another time of taking it, that we'd say, we did the Lord's Supper again. But this would be a time truly of reflection, of looking in deep to our hearts and seeing if there's anything in our life that's not of you. And confessing that even as we take the Lord's Supper. The Bible says if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Thank you for that promise, Lord. May we do that today. May you remind us that because of what Jesus did once for all at Calvary, we can draw near to him. Help us today. In Jesus' name, amen. piece of bread you have in your hand has no saving power. It represents the body of Jesus, symbolic of his body that was broken for us. May I remind you what he went through on the cross? May we never forget the sacrifice he paid. As they beat him with rods, they blindfolded him and said, "Since you're a prophet, why don't you prophesy who's beating you?" They challenged his every part of his life. They took a cat of nine tails, made of sharpened pieces of bone and lead, and whipped him 39 times on the scourging post. Many a person would not come off the scourging post alive. The Bible says that his face was marred more than anybody's face could be marred. They put that crown of thorns on his head. They put the nails in his hands and in his feet and hung him from the cross. For him even to take a breath, he'd have to pull himself up by the nails to take a breath and come back down. I want you to know this morning they did not take his life. He gave it freely for you and I, once for all. His finished work at Calvary. That night, Jesus took the bread and they blessed it. Brother John, would you lead us in this prayer today?
Father, we thank you for the giving of your body for our sacrifice. Thank you for taking our sins upon your body in order for the breaking and to becoming that sacrifice, the pure and perfect lamb. We love you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
He took the bread, they blessed it, and he gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." cup you hold within your hand today has juice in it, but it represents, it's symbolic of the blood of Jesus that was shed at Calvary. And I tell you what that blood was, it was pure. There had to be a perfect sacrifice, and Jesus was the only perfect sacrifice. That blood was powerful. There's power in the blood. It has the power to forgive us of our sins. It has the power to deliver us from our past, to bring us into his presence. Powerful blood. It's perpetual. It's forever, folks. The blood that was shed at Calvary will forever be that which we need for our forgiveness. And that's how we stand before the Lord one day, not in our righteousness, but in the righteousness of Jesus. May we never forget that. On that night, he took the cup, and they blessed it. Brother Delis, would you bless the cup this morning?
Dear Heavenly Father, just thank you for the blood that you shed upon the cross for us. Father, let us never forget it. Lord, let us remember that you paid it all. And Father, we can never repay what you paid at the cross for us. And Lord, we just pray now that you just bless it. Ask it all in the name of Jesus. Amen.
He blessed the cup. He gave it to disciples and said, take, drink. This is the cup of the New Testament, the new covenant, my name. This do in remembrance of me. Brother Jake, I just want us to do one song this morning, and I would like us to do just by a cappella, My Jesus, I Love Thee, I Know Thou Art Mine.
My Jesus, I love thee, I know thou art mine. For thee of sin I resign. My gracious Redeemer, my Savior art thou. If ever I love thee, my Jesus, 'tis now.
It's our time to respond to the table. For some here today, you've never given your life to Christ. And I don't know of a better day. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. And we invite you to come. Take a pastor by the hand, say, Pastor, I need Jesus. I want to meet this Jesus that gave his life for me, that died for me. I want him in my life. I invite you to come today. Others here today, maybe you're visiting our church. You've been here several times, or just your first time. If God's leading you to be a part of this church, a member here, we invite you to come and join today. Be a part of our fellowship as we serve together our great Lord. And I don't know about you, I'm thankful that his work is complete. And he is waiting at the right hand of the throne of God. And by the way, the reason he's waiting there, he's waiting for the Father to give the word. Say, go get my children. And he's going to come again. He's going to rapture the church out of this world. And during that time after that will be the tribulation, 7 years of unimaginable things that will happen here on this world. And you and I who know him will not go through that. Thank God. We must be prepared. Are you ready for his coming? Let's stand together. I'm going to pray and we're going to sing. Father, I thank you for this time you give us today. I thank you for your word. It's powerful, that tells us that Jesus Christ is the greatest sacrifice of all, and his sacrifice is sufficient. Once for all, he went into that holy place to make atonement for our sins. And I thank you today because of that. We who know you can rejoice today. We who know you can serve you today. We who know you can love each other the way you want us to. Touch us now in this time. May you be glorified in this invitation. In Jesus' name, amen. You come right now. Come as God calls you today.
There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains, lose all their guilty stains.
Here's the joy. God's been working in his life. He's been fighting it. But today he said, I give him my life. It's Bradley.
Amen.
If you're happy about Lennon's decision and accepting Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior, will you let me know by saying amen?
Well, that it's never commonplace when someone comes to Christ, but it's when your grandson comes to Christ, it's a special thing.